Okay, this week's parasha is Ki Tavor, right? So it says, speaking about the Bikurim. So let's read a little bit about the Bikurim, and let's try and understand. I think probably we'll only have time to learn about the Bikurim, but we'll see. We'll see if we get further in the parasha. Okay? So let's see. Vaya, Ki Tavor el Haaretz. When you come to Eretz Israel, Asher Adonai Elohecha noten lecha nachala. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to you as an inheritance. V'yirishta v'yishavta ba. And you inherit it, you have domain in it, and you sit in it. Only then you're going to be obligated with Bikurim. Right? V'lakachta mereshit kol pri ha'adama. You take from the first fruit of all the land. Asher tavi ma'arzecha. Asher Adonai Elohecha noten lach v'samta b'teni. Put it in this basket. V'alachta l'makom asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha. You take it to the base of Migdash, the Shachen Shmo Sham, where his God's name's there. U'bata el ha'kohen asher yeh b'yamim ahem. You go to the Kohen of that generation, of that times. In other words, the rabbis, Rashi explains at that time, is yiftach b'doro k'shmu b'doro. Whoever's in that generation, he's the rabbi you listen to. V'amarta elav, higadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha. I'm higadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, ki bati el ha'aret asher nishba Adonai l'avotech latet lanu. I came to the land in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an oath to give us. V'lakach ha'kohen ha'tenem yadecha, he took the basket from your hand. V'inicha lefnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha, he put in front of the mizbech. Vanita, then you answered and you said, "Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Arami Oved Avi." This sounds like the Haggadah on Pesach, doesn't it? And this is where it comes from, right? Arami Oved Avi. Who was that? That was Lavan. V'yered Mitzrayma. He wanted to destroy us. V'yegur Sham B'matim Ad. We there with a few. V'yu Sham L'goy Gadol Atzum V'rav. We came out as a huge nation. They did bad to us, the Egyptians. And they afflicted us. And they put on us difficult work. And he saw all our troubles. It's mamish the Haggadah. And he took us out with otot, with signs, and with, how you say, moftim? Amazing miracles. V'yivyeinu el makom hazeh, brought us to this land. V'yitein lanu et ha'aretz hazot, eretz avat chalav udvash, a land full of abundance. V'ata hineh heveti reshit pri adama, asher natati li Hashem, v'inachto lefnei Hashem Elokecha, and I put it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ishtachavit lefnei Hashem Elokecha, I bow down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'samachta b'chol hatov, and I'm happy with all the goodness Hashem natan Hashem Elokecha and Oveitecha to my house, Ata v'alevi ager asher b'kirbecha. Right? And you should be joined with the old house and also the Levi and the Ger. Don't forget them and give them what they're rightfully supposed to be getting. Right? Now, when you come to the land, bring Bikurim. Remember where you came from. Remember your troubles. Remember how you got out of them, and the purpose was to come to Eretz Israel, and now you're bringing Bikurim as a recognition of being brought here, and the goodness that Kodesh Baruch Hu does for you, and therefore you're going to bestow goodness on all those people around you, with your Bikurim and with the giving of the tithes, which we're going to speak about afterwards, right? Okay, fine. When is the time for Mitzvah Bikurim? The time for Mitzvah Bikurim is from Shavuos on till Sukkos, right? Or maybe a little after, right? I think I've gotten to what time it is. But it starts from Shavuos. The Torah, when it speaks about Shavuos, what does it call it? Chag HaBikurim. The festival of Bikurim. So we see there's a definite connection between Shavuos and Bikurim. Shavuos, we know, is what? The time of Matan Torah, the time of the receiving of the Torah. What's the kesher between Matan Torah and bringing Bikurim? What's the connection? We bring Bikurim, but it's Man Simcha, that's the time of the harvesting.
You go back to the beginning, so the time we receive the Torah is like the
beginning?
Form. Yeah.
could be. Let's think a little bit more. I'll give you a little bit more of a hint. It says, when Adam HaRishon was sinned, you heard of Adam HaRishon? First man, primordial man. When he sinned, so Chazal bring down in many places that the Eitz Hadas were all the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. Right? And there's one more, which is the Etrog, which is connected Malchus. It starts with Chita, right? Wine, and then Geffen, right? All the seven, like the seven levels. What's called seven spheres? If you don't know, if you heard about that? Okay. The seven spheres connected with seven Bikurim, right? And then you have Etrog, which the Ramban says is connected Malchus. In other words, there was something here which happened. There was the eating of these fruit were not supposed to be eating. The Chet of Adam HaRishon was not that he ate the fruit. He had a mitzvah, lo taaseh, a negative commandment to eat these fruit during the weekday, and a positive commandment to eat these fruit on Shabbos. Had he eaten them on Shabbos, and he was supposed to eat them on Shabbos, the world would have been fixed, and that's it. We'd have gone into Olam Haba. Shavuos is the day in which we bring Bikurim, right? Is the time when we start bringing Bikurim. It's called Chag HaBikurim, right? And we now see that it's also called Chag HaKatzir, the time for harvesting, the beginning of harvesting starts in Shavuos, and Chag Matan Torah, time of Torah.
So in the second Mishnah of Perek Rishon for Rosh Hashanah, it says, when the world is judged
right. Al Perot HaIlan. Yeah, that's it. The world is judged al Perot HaIlan. Now, let explain here. The funny thing is, nothing's mentioned here about Kabbalah Satera. It's mentioned coming out of Egypt, going to Eretz Israel, bringing the Bikurim, right? Not written, we received the Torah. Nothing mentioned there. Right? Okay. Let's try and understand a little bit more. What do I mean by that? What was the Chet of Adam HaRishon? The Chet of Adam HaRishon was from eating, this was called Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas Tov Vara, right? Good and bad. It actually wasn't Eitz Hadas Tov Vara intrinsically. It was Eitz Hadas Tov. When Adam HaRishon ate it, since he ate it on the weekday, and the weekday is a period of time which is Mu'urav, which is mixed with Tov Vara, the eating of the fruit brought Ra into Adam HaRishon. Before the Chet, Adam HaRishon was a completely spiritual and cognitive being. After the Chet, Nichnas Bo Yetzahara. Why did Adam HaRishon do that? Because he didn't want to have, and we're not going to go into the whole Chet of Adam HaRishon, a little bit. He didn't want to have, says the Zohar, Nama de Kisufa. What's Nama de Kisufa? It means bread of embarrassment. He wanted to toil for his spiritual place. He didn't want to be in a spiritual world on a high spiritual level for no toil from himself. He wanted to have the avoda, the work, to toil to reach that spiritual place. For example, if someone's born to a very, very rich father.
You said Adam wanted to toil to work to get to a spiritual place?
Yeah.
So he wanted to eat from the tree?
Yeah. It was a cognitive decision. It was a mistake because he didn't realize the extent to which he would fall, and he didn't realize the extent to which he couldn't fix himself after eating the Eitz Hadas. But the truth is, if a person understands a little bit more, if you learn a little bit more Chumash and Chumash Bereishis, you'd understand that the Chet of Eitz Hadas actually occurred beforehand. It occurred already in Mamish, the second day of creation, the separation of the upper waters from the lower waters. Right? Even on the first day, there was the whole creation of the world means a negation of God's goodness in order to create the world. That effectively is me'ain shviras hakelim, the breaking of the vessels, and it's a certain level of breaking of vessels from God's point of view. And then Adam Arishon was also a concept of breaking the vessels. I'm not going to go into that. That we'll learn, Bezal Hashem, later as we go through the parashas. But these are very, very deep topics. And here, Adam Arishon made this cognitive mistake. He was a cognitive being. He was not a being in which he desired. Right? And the whole story is with Chava. You see Chava and the Nachash. The Nachash represents the antithesis of Adam, the Ra in the world, but it was a separate being. After the eating of the Eitz Hadas, the Nachash and Adam Rishon fused together, i.e. the Nachash, which represented the Yetzirah in the world, became part of man. And now man's fight throughout history and throughout his own personal lifetime is in removing that Ra for him and expressing the good which is innate in him. The Ra in man is not something which is innate. It's something which came upon man as a klipa. That's why the Loshen for Chazal, for Ra, the Kabbalists use the Loshen of klipa. It's a shell around man. It's not man's essence. Man's essence is pure goodness. That's his neshama. His neshama is pure goodness. And man's avoda is to express his internal essence, which is pure goodness. The word for ra, the word for bad, comes from the word ru'ua. Ru'ua means something like a vessel, which is ru'ua. It's a vessel which is broken, which is non-functional. That which is non-functional is ra. When man is not functioning as a human being, as a tselem elokim, as an expression of God's divinity within man, he's a dysfunctional being. That's ra. That's ru'ua. He's dysfunctional. When you have if you have a cup, it's a broken cup, has a crack in it. You can't pour water in it. It's non-functional. It's broken. That's what broken means. Broken means something which is dysfunctional. Tov, what does tov mean? Tov means good. But tov, the word for tov, it says, when we light candles, it says, like Aaron in the Beis Hamikdash would light the candles, or what would we call it? It's called lehetiv, to remetiv the neiros. What does it mean to lehetiv the neiros? He would fix the wick in the candle and fix it. Fix it that it was ready for lighting. So lehetiv something means to fix it, to complete it, to prepare it to be litten, to prepare it for its functional value. That means lehetiv, to do good, means to express the functional usefulness of something, to fix it in it, to be able to be used in its functional way. That's what means lehetiv. That's what means goodness. Goodness means to express your tzelem elokim, to express that which is divine and inner within you. You with me? Clear? Okay. Now, let's go back. Why are we mentioning now, with these bikurim, all the tzaros, all the bad things? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who did all of this to us. He put us in Egypt. He brought on Paro. We know God runs the world. Thank you, God. Like he's telling a friend, you know, thank you for, like, patching my face, right? And, you know, making me bleed and putting a plaster on me. Do you do that?
Nope.
So what's happening here? Thank you for all the tzaras you brought to us and saving us from all the tzaras, you know. We were only 8 million in Egypt and we came out 2 million. 6 million of the Jewish people died there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the Holocaust. You could say such a thing?
Yeah.
Thank you for the Holocaust?
He has a plan.
He has a plan. Okay. So let's try and understand this plan a little bit more. He's basically right. If we understand the plan, we understand. The problem with the head of Adam Rishon, he brought the Yetzirah, he brought Ra into us. He brought dysfunctionality into us. In order for that dysfunctionality to be removed from us, it required cleansing. It required separation from the Ra. Separation for the Ra, right? You have The Moshel of Chazal, that Egypt was like a Kur HaBarzel. What's a Kur HaBarzel? You ever saw, like, you know, these big, you know, when you make iron, you take like this, all this iron metal, it comes, it's mixed, even gold, all metals are like that. They come mixed with rocks and solid and bad stuff, right? And you have to like fire them up to a very high temperature, and then, you know, the rock part of it goes on the surface, you remove that rock part of it, and then you get the pure metal at the bottom, right? But in order to do that, you have to put it to a very, very high fire. So Egypt and Lavan, all these, I mean, I'm not going to go into, when we get to the story of Egypt, we get to the story of Lavan, we'll speak of this in more detail, you'll see in the Psukim. But the purpose of those things was to remove the Ra in the Jewish people, to remove the Psolet. All bad that happens to a human being, all the Ra, it's not a punishment. God's not patching you on your hand. He's not damaging you. The punishment that a person gets is there to purify him so that he'll reach his proper level of expression. So when a person understands that on a deeper level, he should be thankful for it. That's what's happening on Bikurim. Now let me explain. Since the Bikurim were that which caused us to chet, that was the Eitz Hadas, those fruit need fixing as well. What was the fixing of the chet of Adam HaRishon? The fixing, the final fixing after the purification and after from Egypt, we have 49 days of going to higher levels of, from 49th level of impurity to the 49th level of purity. That was the Avodah on Sfiras HaOmer. That's where we count the days towards Matan Torah. Then Matan Torah was a present. Matan Torah, it's a present. Matan means a present. The present. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve to be on the 50th level, which we get because of the giving of the Torah. But Matan Torah and the Kesher that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed the Chet of Adam HaRishon. That's what Chazal say. The Pascha, Zumata Shel Nachash, was removed from us finally, the Zuhama, the bad that was imbued in man from the Nachash, from the Yetzirah. We were free of the Yetzirah. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos, don't read Charut al Luchot, that God engraved the Ten Commandments on the Luchot, Ele Cherus al Luchot. You should read Cherus. Cherus means freedom. She'ein lecha ben chorim, you don't have a free man, ela mi she'osek b'Torah, someone who's learning Torah. The only way a person can reach his high cognitive level of behavior and of connection with his Creator is through Torah. That's why you come to yeshiva. You come to yeshiva not so you know how to keep Shabbos. You can do that outside yeshiva. Not how to know to put on tefillin. You can do that outside. Not how to be a good businessman and behave. You can learn those business ethics. How to talk Lashon Hara. You can learn outside yeshiva. You're learning, what are you guys learning? Bar Mitzvah? Or Kiddushin, right? That's a good one for second years, right? You're learning something. How to marry? Where you in the daf? What daf you on? Daf base, right? Daf base. What page you on?
What's that? We're doing a test Zion Amid Aleph, or is that?
Oh, you're learning about Avadim.
No, we're in Perek Shlishi, first Mishnah.
Okay, so you're learning about. Yeah, right. He says to a friend to marry a woman, he takes her for himself.
Yeah,
smart guy, right?
Yeah.
And then what's it called? You're talking about Yorid Lasadi Chavera, right? And someone else grabs it. Ani Amahapich Bahamahara. They haven't got to that. Okay, all right. So, okay, these interesting subjects. Come on, you know, right? I mean, that happens to be a subject which is very, very nogay in halacha. It's very much to do with business ethics, that say someone, and from these halachas we learn that if someone, what's it called, I mean, going on a tangent now, but doesn't it? If someone has a business and say you're going to open another business, similar to his, and you know, in the same street and the same things. So these halachas are learned from Ani HaMahapach B'Charara. Or if someone buys a house and he puts a price and then he hasn't bought it yet, and you go and you put a lower price, that might be a problem. You understand? So there are halachas which are very, very nogea, the halacha, very necessary for us to learn. But a lot of the halachas in Kedushin, most of them, there's a Gemara that says, how to marry half a woman. Are you interested? How to marry half a woman. How to marry a woman, that's a Gemara in Gittin probably, how to marry a woman apart from Reuven. That means I can marry the woman, but I'll let you marry her as well, after me. Sounds interesting? Anyone's going to do that? No. Oh, you want it for yourself, right? But there's all these sorts of Gemaras. The Gemaras are like theoretical concepts in the Gemara, so that you understand fully the concept of what Kiddushin is. You're not learning Gemara to learn how to behave as a Jew. You're learning Gemara to fine-tune your thoughts to the Ratzon of your Creator. When you fine-tune your thoughts to the will of the Creator and you understand His will, and you understand what His will is, your will becomes like His will. And you're nullifying other desires that you have within you. You with me? Make sense? That's what Matan Torah was. Matan Torah was the unification of man's will to God's will. And that unification removes from man his outer desires, his personal desires. That's how we reached that level.
Remove whose personal desires?
Man's personal desires, because they became completely one with God's will. You understand what I'm saying? Make sense to you? Yeah?
It doesn't seem like man's personal desires have evaporated, if only like...
No.
Not like the Yetzer Hara.
The Yetzer Hara was removed, the Matan Torah. We failed Matan Torah. There was a golden calf. We still have Matan Torah, because Matan Torah is still something we want to get. Our second Matan Torah was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kapara, again a day of cleansing. Because again, we try in Yom Kippur through our davening, right? Through our davening and through God's help and tshuva, we try to reach the same level that was supposed to be given to us on Matan Torah, which is to be one with God's will. That's why we have like five tefillahs on Yom Kippur. When we get close to Yom Kippur, I'll explain it. But we have like five tefillahs basically. And the purpose of that five tefillahs is to reach us to higher levels of spirituality till we get to that level of unity with God's will. And that's tshuva. That's why. What's tshuva mean? We read in Shemoneh Esrei, we read in our prayers every day. What do we read in our prayers? Hashivenu avinu l'toratecha. Tshuva means returning to the Torah, returning to God's will. That's what tshuva means. That's why the day for tshuva, right? The day we fix the Chet of Adam HaRishon was Shavuos. The day for Yom Kippur, the day for Kippur means kapara, means cleansing. The day for cleansing is when we come one with God's will, when we receive the Torah. That's what tshuva is. So now, what are the bikurim? What do we do with these bikurim? We bring them to the Kohen, right? And the Kohen puts his hand underneath us and he waves it upwards. Fruit, man, when he was created, was not an animal eater. Man was a vegetable and a fruit eater. Mainly fruit. They were esev. But most of man's eating was fruit. Even the wheat, before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the wheat wasn't a vegetable. Wheat was a fruit. It was on the tree and it came out as a bread. Man didn't have to prepare his wheat. Only after the Chet, wheat went to a lower level and became a vegetable that you now had to process it and to make it bread. We're going to explain. That was one of the klalas of man. With the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. This is a deep idea. Maybe I'll have time to explain to you. But let me explain to you something now. Man's food were these fruits. Right? This is what he was eating on. He was supposed to eat it. They were obviously weren't fruit like we understand fruit. Man was a completely spiritual being. Rashi says that the angels, when they saw man, they thought he was a deity in the lower worlds. We're not talking about man, you and me, man. We're talking about primordial man. He was a complete spiritual being. If we were around when Adam HaRishon was around, say Adam HaRishon was in the same room as us now, we wouldn't see him. We wouldn't see him. He'd be in a different spiritual world, different spiritual realm. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Man then was in the lower parts of the world to the highest parts of the spiritual world. After man sinned, he became more physical, and the world became more physical with him. You with me? What brought man to this physical level was because when he ate from the fruit, he ate it when there was ra, he ate it with desire. He ate it, right? That's what it says in Chumash, that the fruit was nechmad de'naim, or something like that. Well, let me see the Chumash. So it says, in Chumash here, it says, yeah, v'tireh ha'isha, and woman saw, ki tov ha'etz, was good the fruit, the tree, lemachal, to eat. Ki tavahu le'enayim, it was desirable to the eyes. V'nechmad ha'etz la'askil, and it was pleasant, the tree, la'askil, to understand. This wasn't a chet like we think. She wanted to eat the fruit because she wanted to get into a level of haskala, a level of deeper understanding. But it's v'tikach mipir v'tochal v'tzen gam le'isha ima v'yochal v'tikachena einei shneem. They both got a new level of das, but they got the level of das of tov v'ra, also of evil embodied in them. You with me? Okay. So now what it's saying here is that this desire that was innate in man, right? Laskil was to be godly, but there was also a little physical desire. Tava le'enayim, a desire to the eyes. The eyes is what causes a person desire. If a person was to eat and close his eyes, says the Gemara in Yuma, he would not be satisfied. We're not talking about a person stuffing himself. We're talking about if a person ate normally, right? And he ate a plate of food that we would normally be satisfied with it. He closed his eyes and ate the same food, he would not be satisfied. That's what the Gemara says. Your satisfaction is dependent on your seeing of the thing. That's why if you look at, black. All the food was black. Just black, black ghoul. It tasted nice, but it was just black. There'd be less of a desire to eat it. Your desire starts from the eyes. It says, Lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. Don't go after your heart and your eyes, which you will zoni machareim. You go for that desire. Your eyes bring on the desire. That was the chet. Yeah, question?
No, just more clear up to last though.
We see that these fruit brought to man this desire. Right? Le'enayim. Right? And that's what brought into man this innate desire. Now man has a desire within him, not external from him. That's the Yetzirah, desire within man. His goof became more physical. On Shavuos, you mentioned before, it says that man is judged on Perat HaIlan. The Pasuk says, Adam ki eats hasadeh. Man is Eitz Hasadeh. Man is the tree of the field. He's a marshal to Eitz Hasadeh. That's why we don't destroy fruit trees. The fruit of man is his endeavors. Eile told us Noach. These are the generations of Noach. What's the generations of Noach? Noach. Rashi says, the Maisim Tovim, the good deeds of a man, that's his fruit. That's his told us. That's what comes from man. So on Shavuos, we are judged on the fruit of the trees. That means man is judged on his actions. Man is judged on how much of those actions came to fruition. How much of those actions, expression, how much of himself did he express in a proper way that produced good fruit, Torah, mitzvahs, that expressed the Tzelem Elokim, and how much of man was an expression of his desires, of his physical goof, of his body. That's what's done in Shavuos. So now we take these fruits in Shavuos, and we bring Bikurim, these first fruits, and we thank God for what? For removing from us all that bad over the generations, so that purified us. We know we still need this level of purification, because we don't have Shavuos. We still need these sorrows to purify us and to bring us to a level of oneness with God. We still need that. But we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us, and we're taking those fruits, the Beis HaMikdash, our first fruit, and say, bring us closer to you. Bring us further, higher up to you. So we take those fruits and we're minif them. You know what minif is? We like throw them upwards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we want our actions to be closer to you. We want our deeds to be closer to you. We know we're separate from you. We know we haven't reached there, but we want to come close. And we want that desire to become close is against that desire to be physical. The same desire. Man is an emotional being. Man, right, is a spiritual being. He or a physical being. That desire can be used for ruchnias, to desire to be one with your creator, or can be used, chas v'shalom, for gashmias, to desire to be physical.
Can I ask a question?
Yep. Why is this simcha? What is simcha? What is the shorosh of simcha? Revolbi explains in Alei Shor that simcha, right now, this is not his exact words, but this is what comes out from what he's saying. Simcha, he says that any tikshoret, any connection of migudim, of things which are separate, any tikshoret of those things, or the oneness of those things, brings simcha. Now, I'm not going to explain it, that's a whole shiur, but basically it's as follows. Simcha is when the goof becomes one with man's neshama, the goof becomes the nigud of the goof, the difficulties of expression of the goof, because it becomes one with man's neshama, becomes the expressor of man's soul. When that happens, a person experiences simcha. So habas bikurim means taking man's physical desires, which are effectively in the fruit of the tree, which was Tava le'enayim, a desire for the eyes, right? That was the chet of Adam HaRishon. And now we're taking those things which represent taiva, which represents desires in the world, and we're saying, bringing them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're expressing them in reconnection with our Creator, as bringing a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not a korban, but as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand what I'm saying? That, now, Judaism is not about negating man's physicality. That's other religions. That's maybe Buddhism, even Christianity, ideally, but man can't do that. Judaism is not about that. There's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says as follows, that if a person wants to taste the taste of a married woman, there's a way of doing it. He wants to taste the taste of milk and meat, there's a way of doing it. He wants to taste the taste of a piece of davarache, bacon, there's a way of doing it. What's the Gemara talking about? Who wants to do those things? So the Gemara says, a married woman is yafatah, is last week's parasha. You go into war, and you can even take a married woman, right? And you bring her home. Last week's parasha, ki teitzei la milchama. You learned that, right? Milk and meat. You could eat the udder of a cow. A taste of pork. What's that? There's a little fish that tastes like that. The Gemara speaks about it. What? The Gemara wants to give you things that you're not allowed to have? We know that Yafatar, Rashi says, it's connected to Yetzirah. The Gemara doesn't want it, but in battle these things can happen. So connected to Yetzirah, Dibru. What is it the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is saying there's nothing in this world that cannot be sublimated. There's nothing in this world that cannot be brought to expression in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even the ra in this world has a tov. That's why you say on the ra, hatov va'metiv. Sometimes you say hatov va'metiv. You can say, Rabbi Akiva, if you understand that really Ra is Tov. Ra is really, like she said, what was Tov? Tov's a fixing. It's a fixing of us. It's not to destroy us, it's a fixing of us. It's a purification of us. Then really Ra is, the Shoresh of Ra is Tov. Man's purpose in this world is to see all aspects of himself, all physical aspects of himself, our most holy days. Which is the most holy day? Shabbos. What are you doing Shabbos? Cholent. Trans fats. Ice cream with trans fats. You can't have milk ice cream, right? It has to be trans fats, right? Can't get worse than that. That's avi avodah tumah by food. Trans fats, right? We eat all that stuff on Shabbos. What are you doing? The most spiritual day. It's ke'ein olam haba. We're eating, we're shluffing, right? No yeshiva on Shabbos. It's not like, Shabbos is a spiritual day. No, let's go for it. Just full day learning. No, you get off time. You go to Meir Sharim, you buy yourself a pizza, it's Erev Shabbos, right? You get yourself some, what's it called? Some mamtakim, some sweets, some, how you call it? Those nuts, right? I'll give you guys ideas now, right? That's how you, what's this? The most spiritual day? That's how you spend it? Yes. Judaism is a religion of sublimation, not a religion of negation of self. Everything in self can be expressed. And yeshiva is the place where we learn how to live fully in this world, to express all aspects of our physical self in a good way, in a fixed way, in a proper way. That's the purpose of coming to yeshiva. To learn how to express everything in a useful way. We get married. Marriage is kiddushin. Marriage is holiness. In other religions, marriage in Christianity, woman is like the devil. In Islam, forget it. It's a completely physical experience. In Buddhism, it's a negation. That was the final fight. They don't have a female concept.
Is that why the two stages of kiddushin, it's like the physical and the spiritual?
Not that I know of, no. Kiddushin means... There's two aspects of Kiddushin. Why is there two aspects of Kiddushin? One is to connect to her. It's done in stages. One is to connect to her, because when you develop a relationship with someone, it can't be, you know, in one stage. First you connect with her. In the time of the Gemara, you have to wait 12 months for that connection to develop. Right? It's called Erusin. She's tied to you. Literally means she's tied to you. By erastically you do on your tefillin, you bind her to you. She's connected to you. And then chuppah literally means a canopy. Chuppah means she now comes into your, fully into your domain. But it takes time. First you have to connect her person before you put it to me. What happens if you met a girl after 3 dates, 4 dates, 5 dates, you took her home? I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid. You're not connected to her. You're not connected to her on an emotional level. There's no connection. Your whole connection is just physical. That's not a kiddushin. Kiddushin is when you connect on an emotional and an intellectual, spiritual level, and then you bring her home.
That's what I'm talking about. The spiritual and the physical. There's like the
you're right. That's more physical than that. Yeah.
It's like the union of the two.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe I didn't understand you. Yeah, could be. It's in stages. Only Jews have kiddushin. Non-Jews don't have kiddushin. Non-Jews, you see a woman, the Rambam, in Hilchas Ishus, the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. You see a woman, you bring her home. If she's fixed by you, it's kiddushin. It's like marriage. And then if you don't like her, you've decided she's not fixed by you, you send her away. That's divorce. So people living, so to speak, non-Jews, so to speak, living in sin, what they call living in sin, right? I don't know if they call it living in sin anymore. Living together, they probably call it together, right? So that's called marriage. They're married. From a Jewish point of view, they're married. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here.